Let's stand together for the reading of the Word in Acts chapter 16. We're so glad you're here in the house of the Lord this morning. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Father, we're so glad for the privilege that we have to know the Lord. So glad for the privilege that we have to worship God. Pray, Father, that your presence would be here now. You'd help us as we minister the Word of God to this congregation. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to exalt your name. We pray for the salvation of souls, the sanctifying of your body, Lord, the infilling of your Spirit in our hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd revive the hearts of your people. Prepare us for that great day. When we stand in your presence, we want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the faith that saves. You know, there's a lot of different types of faith, but there's only one faith that saves. And in my text, we have this very unlikely candidate to be saved. The jailer in Philippi has been given orders by the city magistrates to imprison Paul and Silas, and so he's thrust them into the inner prison and fastened them in the stocks. Before they were imprisoned, they were beaten. And all of these things happened to them because of their preaching about Christ and casting the devil out of a soothsayer. Now in the prison, Paul and Silas begin to sing praises unto God and to pray at midnight. And suddenly there's an earthquake, shakes that prison, opens the doors of the prison, looses the bonds of the prisoners. And the keeper of the prison, when he sees the open doors of the prison and knows that he's going to be executed if these prisoners have escaped, he took his sword to commit suicide and would have done so, except Paul stopped him, saying to him, "Do thyself no harm. We are all here." So this man, this jailer, deeply impressed by the conduct and the concern of the prisoners, Paul and Silas, he fell down before them and asking this question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul gave him an answer. The answer that characterized his preaching and his writing: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Mom, this answer is so critical, so important. When a man has a question about his soul, somebody needs the right answer to give him. And Paul had the right answer to give him: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And he said, he prophesied, not only will you be saved, but your household will be saved. And indeed, the man got saved, and his entire household got saved that very night. Well, I want to tell you about this faith that saves. The New Testament clearly teaches us that faith in Jesus Christ is essential for salvation. Not faith in general, but faith in a particular person. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed. There is a person that we must believe in. And this saving faith is not a faith that defies reason, but it is a faith that is founded on facts, historical facts. It's founded on the facts of the gospel message that Jesus lived and died and rose again from the dead. Rabbi Zacharias, the apologist from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, he has a radio broadcast, Let My People Think. And he wrote about watching a golden statue of a god being transported from one temple to another. He said there were thousands of people that lined the route and reached out for a blessing from the priests that were accompanying this god being transported from one temple to another. And Rabbi asked a woman who just received her blessing from the priest, does this god really exist, or is he just an expression of some inner hunger? He said this woman hesitantly replied to him, if you think in your heart that he exists, then he does. And then Rabbi asked her, what if you believe that he does not exist? And she said, well, then he doesn't exist. So it was your thinking that created the God. If you thought he existed, he existed. If you didn't think he existed, he didn't exist. But that's not the Christian faith. We are not believing in mirages. We're believing in facts, historical facts, that Jesus, the Son of God, lived among us, died for us, rose again from the dead, ascended back into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and is making intercession for us. Christ is not the result of our faith. Our faith is produced by Christ. He is real, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith does not produce our Savior. Our Savior produces our faith. This saving faith is a faith in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Saving faith involves the acceptance of the body of truth concerning Christ. Saving faith believes the Bible, brother. It believes the facts concerning Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose again. It believes the Old and the New Testament. For Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me. What Scriptures was he talking about? Well, the New Testament was not written at that time. So he's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. Search the Old Testament Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me. The Old Testament declared the Savior is coming. The Gospel said he has come. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Epistle said this is what his coming means. And the book of Revelation said, he's coming back again. And so the Scriptures testify concerning Christ. He's coming. He has come. This is what his coming means. And he's coming back again. This is the testimony of the Word of God. And saving faith believes the Word of God. Saving faith believes what Jesus believes. I'm telling you, if you believe in Jesus, you believe everything Jesus believed. You believe everything Jesus said, and
if you really believe in Jesus. I don't believe that Jesus was a deceiver. Now his contemporaries said he's a deceiver, he's a glutton man, he's a blasphemer. They accuse him of all kind of things. I don't believe Jesus was a deceiver. I believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. Faith, saving faith, believes what Jesus believes. You know, so many Bible scholars in modern times have denied the validity of the Old Testament, and especially the first part of Genesis, maybe the first 10 chapters of Genesis. But Jesus believed it. He believed in Adam and Eve. He told us that they were in the beginning, that God created Adam and Eve. I believe it. You know, we've just got a new scientific discovery out. And it's due to these genetic codes they're reading, you know. And they say, well, these genetic codes say that in the beginning, that evolution produced not just one man and one woman, but a multitude of men and women at the same time. That there's no Adam and Eve, that there were many Adams and many Eves. Well, you know, some people may be shaken by that, but I'm telling you, it don't shake my faith in the Word of God. I believe what Jesus believes. Praise God. My faith is anchored in Jesus, and I believe what He believed. Now, a lot of people will tell you that you know, that hell is not eternal. And they'll tell you that there's no fire in hell. But I believe what Jesus believed. And Jesus told us that hell was eternal. And Jesus told us that there was fire in hell. So when a man believes in Jesus, he believes what Jesus believes. This is saving faith. Saving faith involves a commitment to Jesus Christ. It isn't just an intellectual exercise. Saving faith is a faith that commits us to Jesus Christ, and we esteem Him more than our very life. Faith is a commitment of the whole man to the living Christ. It involves receiving and giving. We receive the mercy of God. We give ourselves to God. Saving faith places us in Christ and places Christ in us. Now then, we not only believe what Jesus believes, but we walk even as He walked. The Bible says in 1 John 2:6, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." So this is saving faith. Saving faith believes what Jesus believes and walks even as Jesus walked. Brother, there's a dramatic change takes place in a man's life when he really believes in Jesus Christ in a saving way. He'll begin to walk even as Jesus walked. To profess faith in Jesus without a corresponding life of obedience to Him is to deceive ourselves. That's not saving faith. Saving faith transforms you. It's a serious error to assume that faith has no connection to my behavior. You hear me? I said it's a serious error to believe that my faith has no connection to my behavior. When I believe in Jesus, I will begin to walk even as Jesus walked. It's going to change my behavior. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth," he says. Faith in Jesus, saving faith, involves commitment to Jesus Christ. This faith is the difference between life and death, between heaven and hell. The Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 5 and verse 24 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is the description of the Bible concerning salvation. We have passed from death unto life, and now we shall not come into condemnation. He that believeth is not condemned. His sins are under the blood. Jesus has washed away his sins. He that believeth is not condemned. Paul said to the jailer, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In the book of Acts, Peter tells us, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Brother, there's not another person that's ever lived who has the ability to forgive your sins. There's not another person that's ever lived who has the power to deliver you from your sins. There's not another name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And the Bible tells us that the just shall live by his faith. This is an Old Testament scripture repeated 3 times in the New Testament. The just shall live by his faith. This is how life comes to us. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Son of God. Life springs up in our heart when we believe with a saving faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He that believeth and hath life, and he that believeth not on the Son of God does not have life. When we present Christ to men, when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are compelling men to choose between life and death, heaven and hell, because if you do not believe in a saving way on the Son of God, you will perish, because Jesus is the only ticket to heaven. The only one that can get us inside those pearly gates is the Savior, the Son of God. We must have saving faith in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to understand that faith in Jesus may be exchanged for unbelief. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now the book of Hebrews tells us, explains to us that unbelief is the root of sin. An evil heart of unbelief departs from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 10:38 says, Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want you to understand this morning that faith, in order to save you, must be a continuing faith, not a faith in history, not something in the past that we've discarded. Saving faith, in order to save you, it must be continued. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We continue to believe. Charles Templeton, who was a preaching companion to Billy Graham in his youth, some predicted that this man, Charles Templeton, would eclipse Billy Graham. He founded a church, seated 1,200 people. The church was soon overflowing. But after some time in the ministry, this man began to have doubts about his faith. He developed an attitude of unbelief. He saw a photograph in Life magazine of an African mother holding a dead baby due to drought. And he asked the question in his mind, how could a loving God allow this to happen? How could a loving God allow plagues, natural disasters? How could a loving God send people to hell to suffer forever? And so he discarded his faith, became an atheist, a militant atheist. He wrote a book, titled it, Farewell to God, My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith. 83 years of age, dying of a terminal disease, he told about his journey from faith to unbelief in an interview with Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel himself had once been an atheist, became a Christian, and became a writer. And he was interviewing this man, Charles Templeton. Templeton adamantly affirmed that it was impossible for him to believe in God. He wasn't worried about dying. He wasn't worried even though he knew he was in a dying condition. And Strobel continued to question him. He asked him, would you like to believe? And Templeton said, of course. If I could, I would. And Strobel questioned him about Jesus. How do you assess Jesus? He asked. Templeton's tone softened, and he began to speak in glowing terms of the wonderful qualities of Jesus. He called him the greatest human being who has ever lived. He said he's worthy of emulation. And suddenly, while he's talking about Jesus, his voice began to crack. And he said, if I may put it this way, I miss him. And he began to weep. I miss him. I want to tell you something. When Jesus is out of your life, there's a void there that nobody can fill but Jesus. And this man who was a militant atheist, thinking about Jesus as he talked about him, he said, I miss him. He had never found anything in all of the world that could fill the void where Christ had once been in his life. In my text, Paul gives the answer to the jailer's question, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And this man, Paul, was a man who made the journey from unbelief to unshakable faith in Jesus Christ. There was a time he did not believe in Jesus. There was a time that he sought to stamp out the name of Jesus. Here is that man who was once a hater of Christ and all the followers of Christ being asked, what must I do to be saved? And giving this answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How did Paul know that? How did this man who once hated the name of Jesus now recommend Jesus? I tell you why, because he met him on the Damascus Road. And he found out who Jesus really was. And Jesus saved him and rescued him. He said it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he said God got a hold of the worst one in me and saved him. And if he can save me, he can save anybody in the world. And here he is telling this man, if you want to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. This man who once hated Christ could say, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. He would say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Brother, this is the way of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A faith that believes what Jesus believes. A faith that walks even as Jesus walked. A faith that believes the testimony of the Word of God concerning Christ. A faith that causes us to be committed to Jesus Christ. This is the kind of faith that saves. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus saying, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus said, quoted the commandments to him, and he said, all of these have I kept from my youth up. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Sell all you've got. Give to the poor. Come, follow me. What was eternal life in? Selling all he had? No. He could have sold everything he had and died and went to hell. He could have sold everything he had and give it to the poor and died and went to hell. But I'm telling you, the salvation that Jesus was after was in following him. Sell all you've got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. The reason that Jesus told him to sell all he had is because he knew that his wealth was standing between him and Christ, standing between him and eternal life. And I ask you this morning, what is it that's standing between you and Jesus Christ? Whatever it is that's standing between you and Christ, it's got to go, brother. I don't care how precious it is to you. It's got to go if it stands between you and Jesus, because there's salvation in none other but Jesus Christ. One thing thou lackest. The one thing that he lacked was faith and love for Jesus Christ. If he had had saving faith, he would have went and sold all he had, give it to the poor, and struck out after Jesus. And you will too, my brother. Whatever is between you and Christ, if you believe on Jesus Christ, you'll get rid of everything that stands between you and Christ and make your way to follow the Son of God. This is saving faith. While Sister Judy comes to the piano, I want you to understand something. You may go to hell with a 50-year pin on your lapel of perfect attendance in Sunday school. You can go to hell and be a virgin as pure as the driven snow, never involved in any more immorality. You can go to hell and be a deacon. You can be a preacher and go to hell. You can go to hell speaking in tongues. You can be a Sunday school teacher and go to hell. You can be a song leader and go to hell. But I want to tell you one thing that will save you from ever going to hell. You cannot go to hell holding to a nail-scarred hand. You hear me? I said you cannot go to hell holding to a nail-scarred hand. If you trust Jesus with all your heart, if you have saving faith, you cannot perish trusting in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. I believe it, brother. I'm telling you, I believe it. When the devil comes around and tries to shake your faith, if you'll just clutch a little tighter to that nail-scarred hand and say, my faith is in Jesus, I'm a-trusting in Him, He's my life, and you can shake the devil off your trail, brother, when you get him to understand that you're not trusting in yourself, you're trusting in the blood of Jesus, you're trusting in the person of Christ, and your faith is in Jesus, He is your hope, He is your salvation, and my brother, in Him alone is salvation. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. You cannot go to hell holding on to a nail-scarred hand. I wonder this morning if there's a soul in this place You don't have saving faith. You don't have the faith that believes. Trust Jesus. Commit your life to Him. A faith in Jesus that brings about repentance of sin. A faith in Jesus that causes you to turn around and begin to follow Jesus. Walk after Him and imitate Him. Learn of Him. Pattern your life after Him. That alone is saving faith. It's not enough just to have some kind of faith, you know. I believe that faith has got to transform your life for it to be saving faith. And I know Jesus loves you. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If there's a soul here, you haven't had that kind of faith in Jesus. I'll tell you where it comes from. Jesus is the author of our faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Lord's let you hear this message this morning because the Word of God birthed faith in our hearts. I want us to stand together this morning. If you're here lost this morning, you're on your way to hell. You haven't had saving faith in Jesus. The Lord's calling you to believe.
Jesus,
you're responsible
right
to believe.
For
to believe the gospel.
Wrong
to believe the Word
life.
Of God. To believe in Jesus with all your heart.
Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
If you'd like to pray, the altars are open.
Oh, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
If you walked outside these doors and dropped over dead today, where would you go?
Just give Him a chance.
To heaven or to hell?
Jesus will prove.
Only Jesus.
Every promise
can open the doors of heaven
He
for
made
you.
Is true. Jesus is right for whatever.
You'd like to be saved this morning?
In your life.
Jesus will save you. It's not His will that any perish.
Faith comes
all
by
come
hearing.
To repentance.
Hearing comes by the Word.
Jesus will have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Just open your Bible and read God's Word.
Is there one here you'd like to give your heart to Jesus?
Then at an altar in repentance kneel, you'll find assurance that you'll know is real. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Yes, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Oh, Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
Faith comes by hearing.
Hearing and hearing comes by the Word. Just open your Bible and read till God's voice you ever. Find assurance that you'll know is real. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Yes, Jesus is right for that he made is true. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life.
Father, we're glad this morning for the gospel. Thank you that Jesus loved us, came into this world and suffered for us, died and rose again from the dead. Lord, we believe it. We believe your word. We believe what you said. Oh, Jesus, I pray that every soul in this place would come to the knowledge of the truth and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. Receive the forgiveness of sins and the deliverance from sin. Lord, when we gather around the throne in heaven, we'll cast our crowns at your feet and declare that you are worthy, because you are the one that made it possible for us to go to heaven. Oh, Jesus, we believe that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Pray, Father, that your Spirit would speak. Hearts would listen. Lord, souls would repent. Come to Jesus. Discard everything that stands between them and the Savior. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, how cheap it will seem when we get to the judgment bar of God, if there's something that kept us from answering the call of Jesus. Oh, how cheaply we will have sold out our soul. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's a soul here wrestling with a decision what to do with Jesus, I pray that you'd give them the ability, Lord, to make the decision for Christ. To realize, Lord, not how much it's going to cost them to give their life to Jesus, but how much it's going to cost them if they don't. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. We'll give you the glory and honor for saving souls. In Jesus' name, amen.